You're listening to Shtetl on the Shortwave on CKUT 90.3 FM. I'm your host, Tamara Kramer, and Shtetl is a Yiddish word that describes the towns where the Jews of Eastern Europe once lived. Shtetl on the Shortwave is a show about Jewish arts and culture in Montreal. Welcome to Shtetl on the Shortwave this lovely Friday in December. I'm very glad to be here and, more importantly, to have Katie Moore back from her travels to South Africa. Welcome home. She's teching the show today for Shtetl. And we've got a really eclectic program lined up for you. We're going to hear from none other than Meryl Nisker, Peaches, the gender-bending Canadian priestess, or actually I should say rabbi, of electronic music and hip-hop from a very no-holds-barred, raunchy, feminist perspective. Peaches was in Montreal a couple of weeks ago performing with her fourth album, I Feel Cream. And she really, really blew me away. And she blew the entire audience away. It was one of the best shows I've ever seen. It was so great. So stay tuned and hear what she has to say. And also be forewarned, there might be some mildly explicit moments, but it's all for the love of art, so it's okay. And we're going to close the show with a track from Montreal's all-girl Yiddish band, Die Hesse Yidnas, who are performing tomorrow night at Parc des Princes on Park Avenue. So stay tuned for that. They're a very theatrical group. And before we hear the ladies, we're going to talk with Erez Safar. And he's also known as D1. He's the founder and director of the Jewish music website Shem Speed. And the festival is a very hip and eclectic festival with all kinds of music to listen to. There's a lot of acoustic music with traditional instruments, kind of like the song that we're hearing right now by Israeli musician Yair Dalal. You might get to hear lots of electronic music, like this track from Smadar. It's called Mama. Smadar with Mama and a little bit of electronic music. But I think what you'll often hear at the festival is a mix of traditional and electronic music. And no two performers at the Sephardic Music Festival sound alike. It's happening between December 12th and the 19th. And we're actually going to give away tickets to one of the shows later on to hear Electro Morocco. And in a couple of minutes, we're going to talk with Erez about the festival that he created. And before we do, we're going to hear a full track by one of my favorite bands at the festival called Pharaoh's Daughter. It's called Empezare. And we'll be back in a couple of minutes with Erez Safar.
Empezare a contar una valiente historia.
So that was Pharaoh's Daughter with the song Empezare, and they're going to be at the Sephardic Music Festival, the 5th annual. And Eris Safar is with us from New York. He's also known by his stage name Diwan. He's the founder and director of the Jewish music website Shem Speed, and he also runs an independent record label called Modular Moods. And if I'm not mistaken, he's on the air with us right now. Hello, Eris. Welcome to Shtetl on the Shortwave.
How's it going?
It's going good. How about you?
Good. Yeah, just getting ready for the grind for the Sephardic Festival.
Okay, what do you have to do to get ready?
Pretty much take the streets over with posters and flyers.
Okay. And you know what, before we actually talk about the festival, I was wondering if you could give us like a quick explanation of what Sephardic music is.
Well, I guess I'll explain how it works for the festival. The festival, we use it sort of as an umbrella term to mean kind of all music other than Ashkenazic, like Eastern European music.
Okay.
We want to kind of celebrate music from Morocco and Yemen, Tunisia and North Africa and all that. So it's like we couldn't really name it, you know, the Yemenite, Bukharian, Syrian, Sephardic Music Fest. So Sephardic is kind of like that term that, you know, when I tell people I'm Yemenite, they're like, oh, okay, cool, so you're Sephardic. And I'm like, no, I'm Yemenite, you know, but that's just kind of how people view it. So that was, you know, what we thought we'd go with for the festival in terms of an umbrella term.
Okay, it's interesting that you say that, because I also assumed that because you were Yemenite that you were Sephardic, but it's not true.
Yeah, I don't speak Spanish or anything.
So what, like, I thought being Sephardic just meant that you weren't a descendant from countries in Eastern Europe, but I guess it's not.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's not actually what it is. I mean, it's your origin and a region. So if you're Yemenite, you're definitely not Sephardic in any way. But yeah, I mean, because people view it like that, it was kind of the way I thought that the festival, that would be like the best term, you know?
So are you saying that people who are like from Yemen are neither Ashkenazi nor Sephardi?
Right.
Okay. This is news to me. I'm so glad that you came on the show, Eris, to educate me. Seriously. So you're going to be performing at the festival as Diwan, and you mix traditional Yemenite music with hip hop.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be doing a lot of different types of stuff. That's kind of like another one of those you just throw it out, like press wise or whatever. But yeah, I mean, when I'm playing with, we're doing a show at Webster Hall on the 14th with Matisyahu, so that one's going to be one of the biggest shows. So there, I'll be playing like a lot of like kind of like my mixtape called Sabra Sessions, which you can get for free. And it has kind of all this Hebrew and Israeli tracks that I like remixed or sped up and kind of put into like a hip hop setting. So I'll be doing that night. And then two nights later, I have a group called Levi Mordechai, which is sort of like Israeli, almost like retro Israeli style, like 60s style stuff, but kind of more modern. So we're going to be doing that live. And then the closing night, which we just booked, is going to be in this like warehouse, and it's going to be this massive party to like seven in the morning, and be DJing like all types of stuff then.
Okay, I was going to ask you what traditional Yemenite music is, what it's like, but you're doing so many different things. I don't know if you want to focus too much on that. Do you? Diwan?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm going to be really playing so much Yemenite music.
Okay, so. I'm just curious to know, like, where did you get the idea for the Sephardic Music Festival? It's the 5th year, right?
Yeah, it's the 5th. You want me to answer how I... it's just one of those things. I had an Ashkenaz-style band, you know, like a klezmer type of, like, punk jazz group, and that sort of genre was, like, being fused with all these different genres, you know, like the klezmer being put in with jazz and a little bit of hip hop and all this kind of stuff. So there was like kind of this resurgence of that, and it became almost like this hipster type thing in like, even in like college radio to some extent, and world music, and definitely in like the Jewish scene, whatever that is. So I just felt like, you know, Sephardic music is always viewed as like this kind of more mature type of, you know, genre or style. And, you know, I thought it was time to flip it and also like fuse it with different genres and make it kind of more hip. So the festival was like a way for me to do that. I mean, it started from me just doing it like DJing and mashing stuff like that. But I thought, you know, if I do this really big festival, then it could kind of like foster some of this music and also bring attention to like people that are doing it, you know, a lot, especially in New York, because it's not like there's big funding for the festival. So it's mostly like the Israelis that live in New York, and this is like their time to get a lot of shine.
Oh, wow. Okay. So can you tell me about some of the acts, some of the performers that are going to be at the festival this year? Like who's going to be playing?
Sure. Well, we have Electro Morocco. They're one of the newer Shemspeed groups, a group of Israelis, and it's kind of like they have similarities to like Balkan beatbox and almost Gwen Stefani. It's like a pop version of world music or something, very accessible. So they're going to be playing Joe's Pub on the 17th, that Thursday. And then we have the opening night is, we usually do an all-female performance type of thing, so we're doing that with Sarah Aroeste, who's played, I think, every year, and Smadar Levy, or Levy, who's played every year. And then Galit Dardashi, who usually plays under Divan, and she has a side group now that she's, it's called The Naming, and it incorporates dance and kind of electronic music. And so she's going to be playing, I think, for the second or third time, like, ever with that. And she debuted last year for the festival. And then, yeah, I mean, we have like a scholar series at the Center for Jewish History / American Spartan Generation. And then kind of everywhere in between, from parties to other shows and all that.
Can you tell me a bit about Yair Dalal? Because he's a special guest that you've invited. We played a little bit of his music at the beginning of the show, just to give an idea of some of the more like, acoustic traditional stuff that people can hear. Can you tell me a bit about him?
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know what I could tell you about him, like, you know, his history or whatever, but in terms of how he got involved with the festival, I mean, that was kind of like a dream to have him, especially since the festival is sort of grassroots and it's not like this largely funded thing. So my friend sort of put us in touch, and he said he was going to be in New York, and he, like, really wanted to be a part of it. And it was kind of late in the game. So I thought it would be cool to have him at Union Hall, which is a pretty small venue. So we figured it would be like a really cool, intimate, you know, evening with Yair Dalal. So that's happening, I think, on Tuesday or Monday, the 14th, actually.
Okay. And he's sort of, he's a very well-known Israeli musician. I've never heard of him, but from what I understand, he's been around. Well, I'm not like...
He's really famous. I mean, I've never heard of him, but...
No, but the thing
yeah,
is...
No, he's, I mean, he's pretty massive in the world, and especially, I mean, he's one of the top Sephardic musicians and really well-regarded, and yeah, so, I mean, it's a big deal, and it's really exciting to have him on board.
Yeah, it's interesting to have somebody like him and at the same time have younger acts as well, everybody mixing together. So that's kind of cool. I went last year to the festival. We met and it was really, I had a great time. I loved all the venues that did like, you know, the, like you said, the Scholar Series and then on the other hand, going to Williamsburg's like a little bar and it's really
right.
Diverse. So it's really fun. And I encourage, you know, there's a lot of Montrealers who go to New York. So I'm encouraging Montrealers to check out this festival. It's really fun. And I wanted to ask you, before we go to a little break and hear Electro Morocco, who we're going to be giving away tickets to, I just wanted to ask you, who comes out to the Sephardic Music Festival? Like, what's the demographic of the audience?
I mean, largely it's, you know, it's like basically 18 to 30-year-olds, I guess, but a lot of the events target different people. I mean, the Scholar event is sort of an older group, and then we do shows every year at the Spanish and Portuguese Synagogue,
okay.
Which is an amazing synagogue right on the side of Central Park. So that one attracts also like a bit of an older audience and families and some kids as well. So, I mean, not each event is different, but there's definitely events that target, you know, different groups. So I don't know if that gives you a sense, but for the most part, it's, you know, young Jews and fans of these groups and world music and, so, yeah, it's a bit different each time.
And are all the musicians Jewish?
No. the night with Yair Dalal, there's a group goes by Michelle Webb, and I don't think any of those musicians are Jewish.
Okay. I remember last year there were a couple of bands that were, I think Asefa, I can't remember the names of them, but they were mixed, you know, different like Palestinians, Israelis, Moroccan. So it seemed like it was pretty diverse like that.
Yeah, each group, I mean, yeah, I don't really know the breakdown of each group, but it definitely consists of people from different cultures and backgrounds. Because, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the groups are based on people who are coming together to play world music and passionate about that. And that's definitely not exclusive to Jewish Sephardic people.
Absolutely. So we're going to come back and talk with Aris Safar in a couple of seconds. But first, we're going to hear Electro Morocco, one of my favorite bands at the festival. And we're going to give away tickets to a show that D1, Aris's stage name, is playing at with Electro Morocco on the 17th. So check this out. Here's Electro Morocco. That was Suchback by Electro Morocco, and they're going to be playing at Joe's Pub on December 17th. And if you want to win tickets to go see them, if you happen to be heading to New York at that time, or if you're one of my many, many, many listeners in New York City, and you want to win a ticket to go see D1 and Electro Morocco, just email me. My email address is shtetlradio@gmail.com. That's shtetlradio@gmail.com. And all I'm asking is for the name of any performer at the Sephardic Music Festival this year. So for the first person to email me after the show with the name of any performer at the Sephardic Music Festival, 2 tickets to Joe's Pub in Manhattan. And we're back on the air with Aris Safar. Aris, you there?
Yeah.
Okay. What I wanted to ask you, seeing as I think we've covered almost everything there is to say about the Sephardic Music Festival for now, I wanted to ask you about some of your other projects that you're involved with. And one of them that I just read a little bit about was called Hip Hop Sula. Do you want to tell me a bit about what that is?
Sure. Yeah. That's actually started, I believe, for the first Sephardic Festival, possibly the second one, I can't remember anymore, but that is basically a series which brings together Jewish and Muslim and sometimes Israeli and Palestinian artists you know, on one stage through hip hop, and sort of them, you know, expressing, you know, their feelings and thoughts and experiences through music. So it's not really like, you know, we don't give them like a soapbox to go off on whatever they want, you know, but through the music, they kind of tell their story, and that, you know, we find that hip hop is a strong medium for bringing people together and also conveying, you know, different messages and stories. So that's kind of what that series is about. We started it the first time for the Spartak Music Festival, and Hadag Nachash was in town, so a couple of the guys came on and, you know, rapped with us, and DJ Spooky, who I'm a big fan of, was DJing with me that night. Saz, who lives in Ramle, and I think Segol, Kamishimitesha. Yeah, I mean, it was a great night, and we've done it since. We did it in Santa Cruz. We've done it in Tel Aviv, New York again just a month ago, and then we're doing it again in Colorado in February.
Okay, and what were the, like, were the reactions to it different, like, depending on whether it was in the States or whether it was in Tel Aviv? How did people react to the mix of the musicians?
Yeah, in the States, it's pretty parv. Like, people are just like, oh, that's cool, you know, and they're, like, into it or whatever, but it doesn't really get too heated. I mean, in Santa Cruz, we had a panel discussion, and that got, like, you know, a little heated at times. But, yeah, in Tel Aviv, it's just very different. I mean, it's just way more political out there because they're, like, in it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's one group that it was clear they weren't really there for peace. They were there more of, like, a soapbox. They weren't really listening to, you know, generally the artists are pretty respective of the other artists that are performing, and they'll be out there listening and, you know, kind of participating or whatever. And these artists, it was clear that they came not to listen to anybody, just do their thing and just trash, you know, the other groups kind of thing, and left. So,
okay.
Yeah, they won't really be playing again. But, yeah, so that was in Tel Aviv, and that was that experience.
So like, some of the musicians that play together are, they're kind of communicating through music, but at the same time, they might have opposing political points of view.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally fine to have. I mean, it's kind of obvious that a lot of them are going to have opposing points of view. This is a way to kind of get your point of view across, but in a way through music. And the idea is, if you're going to go off, like, you know, and whatever you're going to say outside of the music, that's fine, you know, on a one-to-one basis, or people are going to come up to the musicians and talk to them or whatever, that's fine. The stage isn't really like a podium for that. So it's more like they're conveying it through the music. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
So, yeah.
Are you planning on doing a hip-hop Sula here in Montreal? That would be tough. Honestly, I think it would be as political here as it would be in Tel Aviv. It's a pretty political city on this subject.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that might be a good thing to explore. There was a time when I was playing Montreal, you know, a few times, like just 1 year, a bunch of times, but I haven't played there for a while. I love it out there and definitely want to come out again. So I got to connect to some people to set something up.
Yeah, that would be great. It would be fun. It would be great if you do the Hip Hop Sula, but I think it would be also cool if we could have a Sephardic music festival here.
Yeah, I mean, that would be amazing. I was just in LA speaking to different organizations, so it looks like we're going to start it probably this next year in LA as an annual thing as well, God willing.
Okay, great.
So yeah, I mean, anybody listening or you or whoever, you know, we definitely want to bring it to different places. So, you know, get in touch. You can, you know, contact you or contact me directly, which is erez@shemspeed.com.
Okay. What do you want to give out the website for the festival so that people can go check that out?
Not really.
What do you mean?
No, I'm just kidding. I don't know, man. If they don't know already, they shouldn't even come. No,
Erez.
I'm just kidding. the website is SpartakMusicFestival.com. You could just, if you don't know how to spell it, you could just Google SpartakMusicFestival.com and it'll come up. I'm not going to spell it out for you, kid.
Oh my God. Wow. You're tough, man. Okay.
you gotta, you know, put in a little work to find out, like, what's going on. Can't be served like everything, you know, like Facebook and all that stuff.
You know, people have to do their
work. You gotta
work,
like, search for it. But it's more fun if you, like, put a little work in and you have to search for it. You know what I mean?
You're right. It makes it more meaningful.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to give people a meaningful experience all around by not spelling out the word Sephardic.
Thank you so much for bringing that to Shtetl on the Shortwave. There's not, like, you know, we lack sometimes in depth here, but you've brought it. Thank you so much. And I know we've been talking a lot about Sephardic music, and with the hip hop Sula, it's probably also maybe a lot of Middle Eastern music. But I saw that you produced something called the Beat Guide to Yiddish.
Oh, you're not supposed to say that. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. You could get all this stuff for free, or, well, a lot of this stuff. There's links on my MySpace, which is just MySpace D1. I'll spell that one. It's D-I-W-O-N.
No.
Okay, fine.
Listen.
Sorry. Never mind. Google it.
No, it's D-I-W-O-N.
Anyway, yeah. So you could go over there, and if you go to the Sephardic Music Festival, you could download some stuff as well. Or just go to Shemspeed. Everything's there. As you scroll down, you'll see different albums to click on. But yeah, you could click on the Beat Guide to Yiddish, which, you know, I took different Yiddish vocal. It's kind of like mixing like the Barry Sisters with, I don't really know how to describe it, but I mean, I kind of remix these like traditional Yiddish tunes, and there's like Oy Mama with like a beat underneath and that kind of a thing. And I don't know, it's pretty cool. It's pretty obscure. And it's all blended together after the remixing. And I think it was pretty fun. And then, you know, there's the Sephardic Festival mixtape. There's the Sabra one and the Yiddish one. And if you get all those, I think you're all good to go on the whole Jewish music scene.
Perfect. You know, I start off every single episode of Shtetl with the Barry Sisters Romania. Can I maybe use one of your electronic versions of their songs to start the show instead?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, the stuff through... you just have to pay my publisher.
Okay, all right.
Rights and all that.
All right.
But, or pay them and then pay me for, like, the beat underneath it. But, you know, I mean, well, yeah, I mean, just check out the beat guide and anything you want, even if you want it, like, elongated for the show or whatever. Some of the stuff there is pretty short because it's kind of like traditional hip-hop mixtape where it just kind of blends elements in and out.
Okay.
So it's not like there's, like, a 5-minute full version of a remix. But awesome. Maybe there will be soon for Shtetl on the Shortwave.
That would be great. So, Erez, thank you so much for coming on to the show, and good luck with the Sephardic Music Festival. And thank you also for being so generous to give away tickets to the show where you're playing at Joe's Pub. And hopefully you'll be seeing some Montrealers down there this Hanukkah.
Awesome. Looking forward. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care.
All right. You too. Bye.
All right, so that was Erez Safar. I wasn't sure at first. I thought he was kind of like, I don't know, I couldn't tell if he was too enthusiastic about being on the show, but he's got a great sense of humor. It was very lovely talking to him, and I think that it's even more fun to see him play. I've seen him, and he's great, and he's going to be playing with Electro Morocco on December 17th. So if you want to win tickets to go see them, just email me at shtetlradio@gmail.com with the name of any performer at the Sephardic Music Festival this year, and the tickets are yours. We're going to hear one more track from Electro Morocco. It's called Take Me Back, and then we're going to be back with Meryl Nisker.
Thank you. Er hat sich Städtel auf den Shortwave auf CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
On December 6th, we remember 14 young women whose lives were ended in an act of gender-based violence. On December 6th, we think of the women and the girls for whom violence is a daily reality. And on December 6th, and every day, we should take action to eliminate all forms of violence against women and girls. December 6th is the National Day of Remembrance and Action on Violence Against Women in Canada.
This message is from the Telecommunications Workers Union. Please visit our website at www.twu-stt.ca.
Swoney Per Il Popolo and CKUT present Tiny Concept, Cash Slave Clique, and Léopard et Moi. Monday, December 7th at Casa del Popolo, 4873 Saint-Laurent. Tiny Concept is a one-woman band from Bordeaux, France. It's fantastic minimal rock with pronounced drum machine and wispy female spoken vocals. Cash Slave Clique create a sound completely their own and make all the boys trying their hands at experimental music look like posers. Léopard et Moi use guitars, keyboard, percussion, and voice to improvise ballistic ballads, detonated dances, and songs that will blow your fuse. Tiny Concept, Cash Slave Clique, and Léopard et Moi. Doors at 9 p.m. Tickets available at the door only. $8. A CKUT co-presentation.
Why don't you talk to me? Why don't you talk to me? I'm standing here alone. I know you'll never phone. Why don't you talk to me? Why don't you talk to me? Why don't you talk to me? Come say it to my face so we can leave this place. Why don't you talk to me? What you're thinking, I will never know. Now's the time for you to let it go. The thing that holds you tight. Scream at me for just one night. Why don't you talk to me? Why don't you talk to me? Come on and dig your hooks instead of dirty looks. Why don't you talk to me?
Stop. That's Talk to Me by Meryl Nisker, also known as Peaches, and I'm so excited that we're going to be hearing from her. Her songs have been featured in many films, including Lost in Translation. Her music has been used on television shows like The L Word, Ugly Betty, and South Park. Peaches performed guest vocals on Pink's album Try This. In 2006, she came out with her third album called Impeach My Bush, and had a whole slew of guests, including Joan Jett and her old friend and old roommate Feist. She's toured and played with Nine Inch Nails, Marilyn Manson. She's collaborated with Iggy Pop, and on her fourth most recent album, I Feel Cream, she co-wrote a lot of the songs with Gonzalez. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he's amazing. And I don't know. Peaches was in Montreal a couple of weeks ago. I went to interview her before the show at Metropolis, and I have to admit, I was really, really nervous. She had all her stage makeup on, and she's a real star. I was kind of starstruck, and you might kind of hear that a little bit in this interview because I wasn't too strong on the follow-up questions. I was pretty starstruck by her. She's really, I have to say, I think I idolize the woman, and a lot of what people might dismiss her as being maybe too raunchy, too juvenile, too sexual, too this, too that, or too the other thing. But I encourage people to check out her music, listen to the lyrics, and see what she's really talking about. And I don't know, just first, I guess maybe if you haven't heard of her, here's a little introduction to her. This was a bit of our talk when I met her at Metropolis a few weeks ago.
I don't know if he told you, but this is for Shtetl on the Shortwave.
It's shit. I didn't know that. Hold on.
Can you guys wait? Sorry, we're just doing interviews and they're fake and we can hear you, so.
Shut up!
Uh-uh. blast from the air.
Some call me trash, some call me nasty, call me crash, but you can't match me. I'm smash on me like a bad man, staring at my ass and my beard and my mustache.
What's harder, being an elementary school musical drama teacher or being a rock star?
Definitely a teacher. You know, you have to wake up earlier.
So sexual and so conceptual. Figure me out, trying to catch a bell. Contagious, outrageous.
What events take place in your life to enable you to have the Peaches persona?
I think that, I don't know. I just, I was a spaced out kid when I was little. And I think that came from just, not being able to accept authorities. And so I wasn't really an angry kid. I would have a lot of tantrums, but, you know, and also space out a lot. So I think I've always wondered why. And it's manifested in not very good ways from school, you know, in terms of, like, just acting out and misbehaving in class and not having a creative outlet, you know. I mean, I did gymnastics, which was good because I had a lot of energy. And I think that's helped me be flexible with my body throughout my live performance career, you know. But I've had a few epiphanies in my life. I had one when I was 17 and one when I was 33.
What were the epiphanies?
When I was 17, it was just the first time I had kind of really broken out of whatever world I lived in. So my thinking switched. Just to, you know, I understood a whole other side. It's pretty great. And then from that point, I always realized that whatever you think of, it's always the power of your mind, you know, that you can change yourself, or you not in a way that's unnatural, but change yourself to push yourself to... Sometimes you have to act out things before you can believe they're a part of you, you know, so... Mm-hmm. I don't know what that sounds like to you, but yeah, and then it becomes a part of you, and not in a bad way, but in a way that it's... really comfortable.
It wasn't scary to make an album called Father Fucker and
I didn't care. I know.
You didn't care.
Well, because I didn't think, I didn't care about being famous, you know. My goal wasn't to be like a Grammy winning musician. Mm-hmm. I was just, you know, in my bedroom thinking like, okay, so we've had the Riot Girl movement and we have hip hop and we have, electronic capabilities, but I still don't see all of those coming together in a woman's perspective. And so I was really interested in all those musics, and I just wanted to say something. And I actually didn't think it would be so shocking, and I didn't realize. And it was amazing because I got so much attention from, like, you know, famous people, like, you know, someone like Arthur Baker, who had made all the freestyle beats in New York and you know, in the early 80s, late 70s, or to, like, Alaska, who were big at the time, you know, a lot of comparisons to ESG and Suicide, bands I didn't know, you know. It was just some kind of weird thing that came together. But and also mainstream artists like Madonna or Pink or Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera finding out about me and all this, but never being a mainstream artist still, which is so cool, because, you know, so it is that missing link that I wanted it to be, but I didn't think it would, you know, I thought it would just be on a very local level.
Okay. And did you, like, worry at all about how your parents might react to this?
My parents reacted to a lot of things that I did that they didn't agree with, and in the end, you know, I'm an adult, and they have to respect me as such, and as being their offspring, they have to trust that what I'm doing is progressive.
Sucking on my titties like you wanted me, calling me all the time, that Bondi, check out my Chrissy behind, it's fine all over the time. What else is in the teachers of peaches? Like sex on the beaches, what, huh, right.
How do you feel about musicians or actors who use profanity in the public sphere?
If you have a reason why you're saying them, it's cool. I think profanity is overrated, and I don't think it should be so frowned upon. And I think TV, you know, is just fucking ridiculous about it, you know? So we all say it, they all know it, so... Oh, you know, 10-year-old kids watch South Park. What are you going to do? Mm-hmm. I love South Park.
Weren't you, like...
Yeah, they played Fuck the Pain Away on South Park. four episodes ago, which
am
is like
am I going to be allowed to play this on the radio?
Sure, just beep out the word.
Okay.
Why not?
So I wanted to ask you why it's important to push the envelope around the issue of gender.
Well, at the time I thought it was important to push the envelope, and I still think it is, and I've done my part in that. I think the envelopes I'm trying to push now are more related to age and ageism, so...
Okay, what are important issues to you around that?
Well, that, you know, I'm over 40 and everything's fine and, you know, get over it. That's all.
Okay.
Lick my crow's feet, you know?
I don't see any crow's feet and you don't look over 40.
it's all my fashionable makeup.
Okay, so what did you mean when you said that you have hermaphrodite envy?
Doesn't everybody want to have both? Wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be fun?
What's the riskiest move you've ever made in your career?
The riskiest move I've ever made in my career? Singing a ballad on this album. Singing a soft ballad.
How
a vulnerable ballad. And I think it's pretty cool, because I think if I sang ballads and did that before and then tried to do what I've done with Peaches, I don't think anybody would have taken it serious, no matter what song it would have been, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just very happy, with my choices and sticking to them.
You must be tired. Are you going to, like, go up there and, like, get ready for the show? I don't want to take too much time.
She's like, you have to prepare. Yes, I have like a 5-hour ritual I do.
Okay, so that goes perfect with my next question.
Okay.
What are your spiritual leanings?
Well, I am a fan of 11/11. That's my birthday. If I see it on a clock, it's good luck for me. I believe in the power of 11/11. I think it's a really cool birthday to have. I enjoy being a Scorpio.
Okay. Have you ever secretly wanted to be a rabbi?
I have married some people on stage.
You have?
Yeah. Well, because our last tour in California, they had just, you know, Proposition 8 was happening. So I was calling all gay lovers to come on stage and get married and told them I was a rabbi. So I may not be a rabbi, but I play one on stage.
Okay. And if you could have a bat mitzvah.
I didn't have... You know what? My brother had a bar mitzvah in Israel. We all went there. It was very, you know, we all dressed up, but everybody else was very casual. Like, it was in at my uncle's moshav at Stei Nitzan in the Be'er Sheva. We all got, you know, like, North American'd out, too. And everybody else was in shorts. Just, like, walked up there, said their bar mitzvah parts. So, my sister got a choice to have a bat mitzvah or to travel around Israel in a van with 12 other kids. How cool is that?
That's very cool. So you didn't have a bat mitzvah?
No. Well, I did. When I went to the wall, I gave myself a bat mitzvah. I just wrote a little speech and put it in the wall.
Okay. Yeah. So if you could have a bat mitzvah today, what would you say in your synagogue speech? What would it be about?
What would it be about? Well... I don't know. You know, I guess I would have to, like, address the issue of Israel.
Israel?
Yeah, I would like to discuss Israel. Because, I mean, I've discussed everything in my personal politics in my life, and I'm at peace with who I am and all this thing. And I think my duty if it's a religious or a Jewish coming of age, I really, really, we've got to work out Israel and Palestine together.
It wouldn't be about, like, sexuality and Judaism or anything. It would be Israel.
Yeah. You know what? There's so many issues. So
many issues.
Yeah. What I do on my new album is say, keep my curls kinky and a hole in the sheet. Never go to bed without a piece of raw meat. A hole in the sheet and the curls, you know. And the coils. But is that a myth? Does that really happen?
The
hole in the sheet.
That's definitely a myth.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure of it. I haven't seen it happen yet. I think it's a myth.
Yeah.
I think it's a myth.
Are you quite religious yourself?
I'm not.
No.
I'm not, but
are you Jewish?
I'm Jewish.
Yeah, I mean, I really think that the biggest Jewish issue is Israel and Palestine and power.
Two last questions. What's your favorite song on the album?
My favorite song on the album is Today. I really like Take You On because it could be on Teachers of Peaches.
Okay.
And I wanted to make a song where I'm like, I want to make a song like Teachers of Peaches. And Take You On totally reminds me of something like a Diddle My Skittle or a Suck and Let Go. And I was really excited about that.
Okay.
I really like Talk to Me. It was like a electro soul. I would love to do a whole album of that if I can find a way to make it interesting for a whole album.
I gotta stop being so nervous. What, did I have any last questions?
Settle down!
Have you ever offended anybody with your art or felt like you went too far?
I'm sure. That's their problem.
Do you think people misinterpret what your message
yeah,
is?
Yeah, of course they do. That's why it's art.
Can you give an example?
Well, I can't give an example more than I can say that on one end I've been in Hustler magazine, and on the other end I've been in Bust magazine. Right. I get studied in gender study programs, and I'm also played at football games, you know? Mm-hmm. So I just think it's amazing the wide range of dualities between, you know, am I breaking new ground, or am I porn, or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Am I a man? Am I a woman?
Are you a man or a woman?
Yeah.
I think that's really it. Can I ask you to do one last thing? It's kind of annoying.
Uh-huh. What is it?
You're
Shtetl. Oi! What is it? Shtetl what?
Shtetl on the shortwave.
Hello? Hello, ma. Hello, ma. It's me, Mira. Peaches. Afasakim. You're listening to Shtetl on the shortwave. Oi vey. On CIUT.
CKUT.
Oh. On CKUT. Now you have to do editing.
No, it's perfect. I'm going to keep it like that. Thank you.
Oi vey.
That was Peaches, and I think she's pretty hysterical. That was her. That was on an older album. The album that she's touring with right now is called I Feel Cream, and that was from an older album. And I feel like there's been enough swearing on the show already. I'm not even going to say the name of the album, but the song was called I'm the Kinda. And Katie, you met Peaches, right?
I did. I met her when I was in the Gonzalez band in Paris. He had a show, and she played at his show. She was very cool.
Okay, and you played with her?
Well, we were on stage. I played some guitar and did some ooze, and then she crowd surfed. She's pretty amazing.
She's amazing. When I saw her in Montreal, she performed an entire song crowd surfing, and the crowd was holding her up, and she was with her mic. It was incredible.
Yeah, that's what she did in Paris.
What do you think? Is she like feminist? Is she progressive?
Yeah, all of the above.
Yeah?
I admire her a lot. She's very cool.
Yeah. I agree. I very much agree. Peaches, rock out.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go out with a very different type of song from Peaches Music. It's a Montreal band. They're called Dehesa Yidnas. They're very theatrical. And I think, honestly, in my opinion, the best way to hear them is live. They have costumes and it's very performative. The lead singer is Fiona Stewart, and they're going to be playing tomorrow night at Parc des Princes, which is on Park Avenue. And I think it's worth it to check them out. So we're going to go out with their rendition of By Mir Bis Touchain. I really want to thank everybody for tuning in to Shtetl on the Shortwave this week. If you want to win those tickets to go see Diwan and Electro Morocco, just email me at shtetlradio@gmail.com and tell me one of the names of the performers at the Sephardic Music Festival in New York City. Thank you again to Katie Moore for teching the show. Thank
you. It's a pleasure.
And of course to Peaches for taking the time to talk to me and being like a real superwoman superhero for me. So this is Dehesa Yidnas, and they're going to be at Parc des Princes tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in.
All the boys I've known and I've known some, till I first met you I was a lonesome. Then you came in sight, dear, my heart grew light and this old world seemed new to me. You're really swell, I have to admit you deserve expressions that really fit you. So I've racked my brain trying to explain all the things that you do to me.
cappella even say wunderbar. Each language only helps me tell you how grand you are. I've tried to explain, by me it is a shame. So kiss me and say you understand. All the boys I've known, and I've known some. Until I first met you, I was lonesome. When you came into sight, dear, my heart grew light, and this old world seemed new to me. You really swell, I have to admit you. Deserve expressions that really fit you. So I racked my brain trying to explain all the things that you do to me. By me, this shame.
Shtetl, oi! What is it? Shtetl what?
Shtetl on the shortwave.
Hello? Hello, ma. Hello, ma. It's me, Mira. Peaches. Afasa King. You're listening to Shtetl on the shortwave. Oi vey. On CIUT.
CKUT.
Oh. On CKUT. Now you have to do editing.
No, it's perfect.
Oi vey. Shtetl, oi!
One day,
hello, Mom.
You're gonna have to go on with it.
What is it, Shtetl?